Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
All right. Florida State fan, sky is not falling. I repeat, Florida State fan, sky is not falling. Welcome on in, folks, to Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We are live from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We have a loaded college football slate, the 3:30 slate, the 7:30 slate, all loaded with Big Ten and SEC matchups. Really getting into thick of conference play. Bunch of teams playing their first conference games of the season. And we certainly saw a wild conference game last night in Virginia. The Virginia Cavaliers upsetting the Florida State Seminoles 46-38. Couple of things. Number one, how the hell was it that a catch? I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those people that thought it was a bobble. I 100% thought that was a catch for Florida State last night in Deuce Robinson. The bobbling in at the end zone. My big thing is the kid caught it, had control, had a foot down, and then started bobbling it. So like I'm a little confused now. The ACC, I they gave us a good explanation on it, but I don't think it was right. I think that game deserved. I think Florida State deserved a chance to go for two and tie the game, if that makes sense. I still think it was the wrong call. I understand that the referees and the ACC stand by the call last night and the quote-unquote bobble after he had the foot down. But my big thing is I thought Deuce Robinson got a foot down and had control, and then the bobble came. You know, and apparently that's not a catch. I just thought that game deserved Florida State to have a chance at the two-point conversion. What a crazy, you know what? What a crazy game. I mean, Florida State, first off, shame on you for giving up 46 points to Virginia. That Chandler Morris threw three interceptions, and they still scored 46 points. Kid had five touchdowns on the night. Three rushing touchdowns and two through the air. I mean, the read option. The kid was reading the defensive end and the outside linebackers to a T all night for Florida State. For those of you that don't know what a read option is, it's basically the quarterback making the decision to either A, hand it off to the running back, or B, tuck it and run. And the three touchdowns, the kid, I believe on two of them, just tucked it, read the defensive end, and nobody was home. Like, I can't believe how bad Florida State's defense played. I thought Florida State heading into the game had one of the more elite defenses in the country. I always say defense travels. Defense travels on the road. That's why I cannot fathom Florida State giving up 46 points. Now, overtime is a crapshoot. And Virginia did score 11 points in overtime. But, man, if you're a Florida State fan today, I'm sick for you with that catch, because I personally think it was enough to have a chance to go for two and tie the game and send it to a third overtime. And I can't stomach, if I'm in a Florida State fan's shoes, can't stomach that catch, no catch, I guess, and can't stomach the 46 points. I said to Colin on Russo and Rizzo, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., you can listen to us Monday through Friday, Colin Russo. I told him, I said, Florida State's going to hand the ball off 40 times, probably run for 230 yards. They handed the ball off 47 times, ran for 258, scored three times on the ground. It should be enough against Virginia. And maybe I'm not giving enough credit to Virginia. I think Virginia is a team that's probably going to have 3 to 4 losses at the end of the season. It's my best guess. And maybe I'm downplaying the ACC. Maybe I'm downplaying Virginia. ESPN, forgive me, because I was covering King's Academy last night. Wow, what a facility that place is, by the way. King's Academy. Shout out Coach Adam. I was talking to on the field last night. Big win for Kings over Inlet last night. But I got home at around 9:15 from that game last night. And they were saying on the ESPN broadcast that the winner of this game has like over a 60% chance to go to the ACC championship game. With all due respect, Virginia is not going to the ACC championship game. This was their night. You tip your cap and you move on. Damien, I always did. Being a fan of Ohio State, okay, I understand how important it is to get off to a hot start on the road. You don't want to leave a team that you're better than lingering around, and that is exactly what Florida State did. Florida State had 2-3 and outs on that Virginia offense early on in the game, and they responded by turning the ball over two times. You can't do that. You lost all the momentum. You cannot go on the road and screw around like that. You needed touchdowns right out of the gate, right out of those three and outs. And it didn't happen. And then they got down, and they immediately had to respond. Now, give them credit. TikTok touchdown Tommy Castellanos responded. But you can't give an opponent you're better than hope. And I think this might be a frozen take. You might find me on awful announcing. But it's like, I still think Florida State is better than Virginia. I do. I think they're the better team. I think they're going to have the better season, excuse me, a penalty kick just got saved for one of my favorite football teams that I'm watching this morning. But I think that I really do think Virginia is the better team. I do. Or rather, I think Florida State is the better team. All right, I got to bring it up. Damien, you and I are Premier League fans. I'm a diehard Manchester United fan. Bruno Fernandes, arguably the best penalty taker in
the world. You were trying your hardest, man.
He just had his second PK of the season saved.
You were trying your hardest to focus on what you were talking.
I couldn't
brush it off, man.
I couldn't. And the last time he blamed the referee at Craven Cottage, by the way, we were lucky to get a penalty on that. That's never a penalty. That's never a penalty inside the box. That's never a foul. The referee's trying to bail us out in Brentford and Manchester United after spending $1 billion in the transfer window. They're going to lose to a striker who hasn't scored a goal in about 3 years. But back on the task at hand with Florida State. I think they're the better team than Virginia. Now, it stinks because we're not going to get the matchup that we wanted. And the matchup that we wanted was an undefeated Florida State top 10 team and an undefeated Miami top 5 team at Doak next weekend. But I think, Dame, you know, with Florida State and the talent they have and the home cooking that they have at Doak, I still think they could win that game. And if they win that game, they're right back in the ACC.
I'll tell you what,
they're
Mike.
They're right back in it.
From Virginia's perspective, that was a massive game. If we look ahead at Virginia's schedule, they do get Louisville on the road in their next game. But after that, Washington State at home, North Carolina, California, Wake Forest, Duke, and Virginia Tech. That's pretty accessible when we're looking from a perspective where they can find themselves in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, and I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. That quarterback threw 3 interceptions last night. They were dead in the water. Florida State they couldn't figure things out defensively. 211 yards on the ground for Virginia. That's shameful. I think Florida State had the better line of scrimmage. I can't even say they got out physical because they ran for 258 on 47 attempts. I just think last night was Virginia's night, and you tip your cap. You tip your cap to that. Now, to your credit, Dane, the schedule stinks. I mean, the ACC, my God. People talk about how bad the back end of the Big Ten is. I mean, North Carolina, Cal, Wake Forest, Duke, and Virginia Tech. Are you kidding me? I mean, Virginia Tech's looking for a head coach. Duke is awful. Wake Forest is awful.
They avoid the UM matchup.
I don't know much about Cal. I mean, North Carolina, poor Coach Belichick over there. That guy, I think, is having remorse, taking that job. Washington State stinks. They got bamboozled by Washington last weekend. And then at Louisville,
That's the one right there.
I see it. I just think Virginia is one of those teams that's going to end up losing one of those. But to your credit, Dame, do they lose two of those? Maybe that's why ESPN had the graphic up last night because of that joke of his schedule. But yeah, I mean, Florida State, man, they really had that game. They had that game in the first half, in my opinion. 2-3 and outs by Virginia, had a chance to go up 2 scores early on the road. Instead, you turn the ball over and gave them hope.
And keep in mind, they got UM next.
I think that's a game they could redeem. I'm not going to sit here and declare a victory for Florida State. I'm not going to do that. because I think Miami is the top team in the country after the first 4 weeks. Now, we'll see what the Buckeyes are going to do against Washington. A lot of it has to do with what Ohio State is going to do this weekend for me. On the road, their first Big Ten test against Demon, the quarterback scrambler. A lot of people are picking Washington to upset the Buckeyes in that game, number one team in the country. We'll have to see. But through the first 4 weeks and what they have done, Miami beating Notre Dame, beating USF, and beating Florida, I think they deserved the number one in the AP this week. But I totally get it. I totally get Ohio State still being there because of the Texas win and because of you know, the pedigree of the club. The pedigree of the school. They won the championship last year. They lost 14 starters and haven't really missed a beat this year. But a lot will depend on what's going to happen this weekend. 888-760-3776. Thoughts on the Florida State game? If you're a Florida State fan, are you doomsdaying today? I don't think the season is over, Florida State fan. I think everything is still right in front of you. Go out next weekend. It's a tall task, but go out next weekend. Beat Miami at Doak, at home. And bring that momentum and bring Miami down to a loss in the ACC as well. I think that's more important. Now that Virginia is 2-0 within the conference, you got to find a way to get Miami, that Goliath of a program right now, to pick up a loss and be the same as you within conference play. Now, I think I'm at your mercy, Dame, because Virginia played, Stanford is the ACC team because they lost to NC State, but it wasn't a conference game because both of them didn't have anybody on the schedule. How weird is this? So Virginia played NC State in week two, and it wasn't a conference game because both teams didn't have a team scheduled on their schedule. A couple of teams backed out. So they played NC State, and it wasn't a conference game, which I think is bush league.
So it's almost like a scrimmage in a sense.
It's Bush League is what it is. I mean, they should be 2-1 in the conference, but whatever. And that's why I thought going into this game, I don't think NC State are world beaters. They lost at NC State. And I thought Florida State was going to be able to handle their business. And lo and behold, they give up 46 points on defense, and they lose. Turn the ball over in the first half, and that's it. So, but with Florida State and Miami, if you're Florida State, you want to hand that first loss to Miami next weekend to get back into the conversation of the ACC, because that the back end of that conference stinks. And I go back to what people say about the Big Ten and how the Purdue's, the Wisconsin's, the Northwestern's, and the Iowa's of the world stink. I understand all that, but I mean, my God, that back at Duke and Cal, and I mean, though, I want to say they're
out. Let me pose this hypothetical for you, Mike. If FSU were to drop that game against UM next week, now that game is at FSU, so they will be at home. But if they were to drop that game, where do you leave them with the standings? Well, how much chance would they have to make the playoffs after that?
They'd have to win out. They'd have to win out. And they would have to hope, I think, that Alabama is good. Like, they need Alabama to be good so that win will look good later on in the year. I could definitely see Florida State losing two games and getting into the college football playoff with that Alabama win if Alabama holds up. FSU, their back half of the schedule, you hope that a team like NC State will be ranked. Clemson stinks. You know, that they should be able to handle the Tigers pretty handedly. But Pitt, Stanford, Wake, Clemson, Virginia.
UF.
With all due respect to the Gators, they're not having the season that they thought they were going to have. I think if they lose two games and win out, I think they make the playoff because they beat Alabama. Alabama has a big matchup. We'll preview those games coming up in a second, but Alabama has a big one against Georgia at 7:30 tonight. So I think you're going to find a lot out about Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. By the way, those Alabama fans are going to lose their minds if they don't beat Georgia tonight. They're going to lose their minds. They lost their minds already when they lost to Florida State. But, yeah, Bama needs to keep winning. Bama needs to look good. And you got to win out on that schedule. If you're hypothetical of Miami, if they lose to Miami and are 0-2 in conference play, they got to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They got to go 7-0 after that within conference. Hope that you could sneak into the conference championship game. If not, hope that the committee is going to put in Florida State, who's a two-loss team, and maybe put them ahead of a couple of SEC teams and or Big Ten teams that are going to have two losses. And you hope Virginia, you know, you hope Virginia is mortal and loses one of those games on the back end of that awful schedule.
And you need Clemson to recover a bit so that that game against Clemson means a bit more.
Yeah, you hope that they could be in the top 25. But, Dane, they have three losses already.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tall task. I think Dabo has lost full control of that team as well. So I think that's a bit of fool's gold there. I think you're probably hoping for the wrong thing. But Florida State, like I said, the season is long from over. I know it's doomsday, and I'm doomsaying a bit too. I just can't get over the 46 points, man. Golly, 46 points to Virginia. Oy vey. I'd lose sleep. Buckeyes give up 46 points to Washington tonight. Today, this afternoon. It's a disgrace. That game is at 3:30. Dame, let's transition a bit into those games coming up today. Once again, 888-760-3776. You want to talk about Florida State. You're a Florida State fan. Want to talk about the loss. Was it a catch by Deuce Robinson? What are your thoughts on the defense surrendering 46? Now, 35 in regulation, 35 in four quarters, but 46 on the night, 11 in overtime. What are your thoughts on Florida State losing to Virginia on the road? 888-760-3776. Let's start with the noon games. The big one is USC at Illinois. I'm hoping the Fighting Illini can bounce back after getting the doors blown off them by Cignetti in Indiana. USC and their quarterback, Jaden Miava, no interceptions on the year, 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. They haven't played anybody. But the 6'4 junior from Hawaii has been looking the part for USC, and they will be on the road coming up in Champaign, Illinois. Noon start, Fighting Illini trying to get back on track against USC. And do you want to know who needs USC to win? It's Notre Dame. Notre Dame needs USC to win to have them be a ranked opponent for when they face off against each other later on in the season. Notre Dame obviously already has two losses on the season. They gave up 30 points to, with all due respect to my good friend Vinny Sutherland, they gave up 30 points to a bad Purdue team. So I think Notre Dame right now needs USC to continue to win. 888-760-3776. That number, John in West Palm. Join Saturday Tailgate with Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez. John, what do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Enjoy it. Hey, about Florida State, Virginia. You know, I used to live in Virginia. The thing is, this is not the same Virginia team. They went and bought a team. Mm. You know, everybody's doing it, right? It's not the same team as last year. Everything's new. Got a new quarterback. You know, lights out in North Texas. You got this kid out of North Carolina Central. I mean, it's a brand new team. It's not the Virginia of old. And I'm not surprised that they pulled the upset. This kid, Chandler Morris, he's the real deal.
So anyway,
I was hoping.
And John, you think with the portal moves that they made in the back half of that schedule that they're going to be able to maybe be in that ACC championship at the end of the season?
No, I think that they'll probably lose on the road to either Louisville. Virginia's got to go to Duke. They got to go to, they've got three tough road games. And you know what? I think if you're a Virginia fan, you're saying, hey, can we go to a bowl game this year? Mm. They haven't been in 6 years. So I think they're being realistic. But listen, they got an offense. They move the ball. The defense is no good, but the offense is great. They're going to be fun to watch. But I'm not surprised Florida State lost that game because Florida State's defense is not that good this year. They're just not. Now, so anyway, I enjoyed the show. But this whole portal thing has thrown a complete monkey wrench in everything. The teams that you think are crappy, but they got alumni with money, they bought a football team. And some of them are pretty good. Some of them aren't so good.
John, thanks for the call, partner. Appreciate you listening to the show and the kind words. Now, to John's credit, the teams who have spent in the portal, I believe, you know, look at Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech is a great example of the portal as well. Damien, let's rewind a month ago before the college football season. I was telling you about Texas Tech and to look out for them. They're undefeated in the top team in the Big 12 as of last week, and got the big win against Utah. They spent money in the portal. You look at a team like Virginia, they spent money in the portal. Spending money in the portal promises you a seat at the table. Do you have to figure the talent out? Absolutely, Dame. But to John's credit, you get in the conversation. That's fascinating. To be honest, I got caught with my pants down there a little bit. Dame, I wasn't really in the know that they spent like that. First off, fair play to Virginia and that alumni for wanting to get that team back in the relevancy. And another thing that stuck out to me with John was what he said about the defense. I thought Florida State's defense was a pretty elite unit heading into that game. And I think we found out John's probably most likely right on that. They played a great, let's give them credit though. They played a great game against Alabama and they handled the teams against the godforsaken states that they played after Alabama, the Kent States and company. But if you're a top, like Miami, I know Florida State fans are probably not going to like this. Miami doesn't give up 46 points to Virginia. They don't. That defense is one of the best in the country. I call it top five. I think the top five defenses in the country, in no particular order, Ohio State, maybe in particular order, Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Miami. Those would be like and Penn State. If I had to pick five top defenses. Now, I say Georgia, they gave up a lot of points to Tennessee as well, but that was a road game. And, you know, a defense is a lot of bad game. Like, could Florida State come out and play a lockdown defense at home in Doak against Miami? Sure. I don't think I'm there yet with John saying that Florida State's an awful defense or not very good. I just think it was one of those crazy you-know-what games where Florida State got 2 3-and-outs early and they weren't able to capitalize on it. But we appreciate the call from John in West Palm. And you guys should chime in too, 888-760-3776, that number. But getting back on track with some of the college games happening this weekend, we were starting with that noon slate. USC and Illinois, we already talked about it. Bielma trying to get back on track. Their veteran quarterback, Luke Altmaier, trying to get back on track after a bad game at Indiana. And then Jaden Maiava, I think, is the story for USC heading into this one. No interceptions, 9 touchdowns, and over 1,200 yards on the season in a Lincoln Riley offense, which featured in past days Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, and I believe even Jalen Hurts. So Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer. I think we're going to find out if Jaden Maiava is legit in Champaign at noon. A game you're intrigued about, Dame, Notre Dame and Arkansas. You were surprised by the line with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet with it being only a 3.5-point favorite. I think, talk about defense, Notre Dame gave up 30 against Purdue and gave up 40 against A&M at home. Arkansas stinks. I think Sam Pittman is probably on his way out. And from what I'm being told from people who are kind of in the know at Arkansas, probably a fired man walking there in Arkansas. I do think Notre Dame wins, and I probably would take them on the spread line. But keep in mind, man, that Notre Dame defense is optional with that team right now, which is very surprising with a team led by Marcus Freeman.
I feel like that was their identity last year.
And Marcus Freeman, who played linebacker for the Ohio State University, he's a defensive guy. Defense really led them to the championship game last year. I was very surprised at the start Notre Dame has had on the defensive end. LSU and then the wrap up, the nooners, the big nooners, USC and Illinois, and then Notre Dame and Arkansas. After that, Utah State and Vanderbilt. Utah State stinks. Vanderbilt's a 23.5-point favorite. All right, your top 25 matchups at 3:30. Probably the biggest one, LSU and Ole Miss. LSU on the road at Ole Miss. Colin, my partner from 4 to 6 during Russo and Rizzo, Colin Russo, pointed something out to me that Trinidad Chambliss is going to be the starting quarterback for Ole Miss. Now, if we remember, Austin Simmons was the quarterback to start the season, but he's thrown 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, got injured, and then Trinidad Chambliss, a transfer who came in this year, he kind of won the job for Lane Kiffin. Lane's deciding to go with Chambliss in this game. So, kind of a newish quarterback for Ole Miss. I think with LSU being on the road, this is going to be a tough game. LSU, Damian has struggled to score points. Let's keep in mind, DJ Lagway threw 5 interceptions back in week 2 against this LSU defense. Excuse me, back in week 3, this LSU defense forced 5 turnovers. They only scored 20 points in the game. They were able to finally put up 56 points on Southeastern Louisiana last week, But I think the story going into this one is LSU's offense going to be able to keep up with Ole Miss's offense, and is LSU's defense going to travel? We saw last night that Florida State's defense did not travel on the road. Is LSU's top-tier defense, who, by the way, that's the defense I was missing for the top five, Dame. That's the defense I was missing for the top five was LSU to start the season. Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, LSU, and now I'm forgetting the fifth.
Did you say Penn State?
That's it. Thank you. But is LSU's defense, which that's going to be a fun game. Lane Kiffin, obviously, has, if you haven't seen this, a ridiculous story.
I was actually going to bring that up. I think you're going there.
Lane Kiffin's daughter, who is a college student, I believe, at Ole Miss, Damian, she is dating an LSU linebacker. Some guy tagged Lane Kiffin on X of a picture with Lane's daughter and the linebacker, you know, just cheesing and smiling, nothing crazy. Don't worry. And Lane commented on it and said, take the over. So, listen, you got an angry dad out there on the sideline.
Are you
going
to listen to him?
I probably will. It's 57 and a half. Let's put it this way. The over hit in the Florida State game last night, and I didn't expect it to hit. But continuing on the 330 slate, you got Auburn and Texas A&M. Auburn losing to Oklahoma last week. They were ranked. Jackson Arnold is the quarterback at Auburn, former Oklahoma quarterback. They were in the game. That was a pretty good game. They lost to Texas A&M. They lost to Oklahoma. And now A&M, a top 10 team after their big win against Notre Dame, they're coming off their bye week. They're hosting Auburn at Kyle Field coming up at 3:30. Folks, I got to get a timeout. Let's take a quick timeout. But first off, if you need somewhere to watch all these games in the NFL games, I got the perfect spot for you. It's Big Beach Barbecue on 2400 South Dixie Highway. It's your spot for football season. With the best video walls, big screen TVs, and audio system in South Florida, it is the best place to watch all the games. Enjoy all the incredible barbecue, the burgers, signature sandwiches, beers, cocktails, and so much more as you cheer on your favorite team. They have the NFL Sunday ticket, so you could be sure they will have the game you want to see. What's even better is the late night happy hour that will keep you cheering through the end of the game. Don't forget about our good friends at Pig Beach Barbecue. Do football season right at Pig Beach Barbecue. That's 2400 South Dixie Highway. Go visit our good friends at Pig Beach Barbecue and get some good eats while you're watching all of this great football. Taking a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on going through that Saturday slate. There's a 4:15 game. There's more 3:30 games. Obviously, the 7:30 games are a great slate as well. But taking a timeout, coming right back, Saturday tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, live from the City Place Studios and live on that ESPN South Florida app.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, download that ESPN South Florida app. You can get all of the ESPN 106.3 content right there. You want to listen to the voice of the Inner Miami Herons, Ken Lavica. It's on the app. You want to listen to High School Game Day with Christian Catt and Colin Russo back at the City Place Studios. It's on the app. Want to go back and listen to Russo and Rizzo on the app? Theoretically speaking, guess what? It's on the app. Download the ESPN South Florida app today and get ESPN 106.3 wherever you are on the planet. But welcome on back to Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, live in the City Place Studios. It has been an absolute hellish sports weekend for a lot of us. Florida State fans out there giving up 56 points and losing to Virginia. Myself, my Cleveland Guardians doing their best to blow their chance at a playoff spot, losing two games in a row. Team USA, we didn't even get into how much of a disgrace Team USA was in the Ryder Cup. And then also for me, Manchester United losing 3-1 to Brentford, a team who's on the relegation line. Certainly looks like that United might have another sacked manager. Would that be Damian about 15 in 2 years? It's Dame. If the Buckeyes lose to Washington today, I'm going to need you to do a mental checkup on me. Now, the good news is I can't watch the game because I'm going to be on the call. I have a tremendous opportunity tonight. I want to thank everybody here at ESPN Westmall and the great Ken LaVica. I will be on the call for the Herons and Toronto FC tonight.
Let's go.
And I cannot wait to do play-by-play world football. World football, arguably my favorite sport. And I love doing play-by-play. One of my favorite things to do within the business. So I will be doing that and will not be able to watch the game. But if Ohio State loses, I'm going to need you to check on me. I really am. I'm going to need you to check on
they
me.
They won't, man. Come on.
It'll be...
That's the one team that always comes through for you.
It is. It is. But with the way this weekend is going, and how about this? We took the Lions in the Survivor pool. Who do the Lions face this weekend?
Oh, wow.
The Browns. So
talk about conflict and interest.
Correct. But like in an absolute horrendous world, all my favorite teams lose. And then the one of my favorite teams who I actually need to lose will probably end up winning.
Well,
that's
I mean,
how this is going to go.
It was like that last week when the Green Bay Packers were playing the Browns.
But I wanted the Browns to win that game. Like,
right.
Here's the thing. My brother and I talked about it. We don't have a choice. We have to take the Browns this weekend. We took the Broncos already in the Survivor Pool. We took the Bills already. Those are the two teams everyone is going to take. The Bills host the Saints. The Broncos host the Bengals on Monday Night Football. The three other teams you could have went with. You could go with Detroit, who's facing the Browns. That's where we went. You go with the Texans. The Texans are 0-3 hosting the 0-3 Titans.
No, thank you.
I don't want to touch the Texans with a 10-foot pole. Or you could go with the Chargers on the road in New York. And as you know, Jackson Dart is now the starting quarterback for New York. I wanted to stay far away from that because I actually think Dart is pretty good and not a lot of film is out on him. And I think the Giants, believe it or not, are actually going to give the Chargers a game coming up this weekend. So, 888-760-3776, that number to call on in. Appreciate our good buddy John in West Palm calling earlier. If you guys want to chime in on the Florida State loss, I still can't believe that was ruled not a catch.
I get your perspective. I thought that was a catch initially watching it. I thought he got a foot down with control at some point in that play. But at the same time, you have to make that catch. You can't leave a benefit of the doubt that was a drop, especially in the moment of the game. That, relatively speaking, that was an easy catch. You know, it wasn't really contested. He has to make that catch. There's no way he should have bobbled that.
Yeah, but Dame, I was under the assumption, caught, secured, foot in, then he stepped out of bounds and started the bobble.
Well, he bobbled it twice. That's the thing. He bobbled it at the beginning of the catch and towards the end where you're supposed to keep possession. That's kind of where they went. I thought he had a foot down at some point with possession. So, but at the same time, you can't let it go to the refs. You got to make it undoubtedly a catch.
But that number, 888-760-3776, if you want to chat. We ended last segment talking about the big 330 games. We went through the Nooners, 330 games, LSU Ole Miss, Auburn A&M, Indiana Iowa, and then obviously Ohio State and Washington. Buckeyes' first Big Ten game, first road test coming up in Washington. That is a 3:30 Eastern time kickoff. Tennessee is going to Mississippi State at 4:15. And then after that, we are in to the late ones. And the best two late games, arguably some of the two best games so far, at least on paper, Oregon and Penn State, the Ducks traveling to Beaver Stadium. It's the whiteout game for Penn State. And then Alabama and Georgia. So a Goliath of a Big Ten matchup.
What a game.
7:30, NBC and Peacock, Oregon and Penn State. And then the ABC game of the night, I believe. Game day is there. I have not tuned into game day yet. I apologize, folks. I've been watching my soccer and world football team, Manchester United, poop the sheets on live TV. But Alabama and Georgia, I'm assuming Kirk and all the gang is there. My big bro, McAfee. God, I love McAfee. Is he sweating today?
He did great last week.
Does he have the forehead sweat going today?
No, they actually look pretty comfortable.
Oh, good, good, good. I joked around with Damian last week. A little context on McAfee. I joked around with Dame because listen, guys, I've been on remote in this South Florida heat more times than I could count at this point, being here over a year. Big bro McAfee had some serious forehead sweat going on. He had some serious, and I could relate. And then, Dame, you said he opened up the suit and his dress shirt was just
transparent.
Looked like he jumped in a lake.
But I get it. I mean, that.
Oh, God, Dame. I've been there.
The humidity at that time of the day in Miami, I mean, unbelievable.
Dude, we were on remote. What was it, Thursday? Damien, we set up the sports desk. It was 92 degrees. I looked at my phone. It said it felt like 115 with the humidity. One of the interns looked at me and went, she's like, Mike, are you okay? Dude, I almost sweated myself out of the event.
Now, they are at Penn State tonight, so that's a completely different, probably more comfortable climate.
Yeah. Oh, so they're in Happy Valley.
Penn State versus Oregon.
They decided to do Happy Valley instead of Georgia, which is, I don't want to say a little shocking. I am a little shocked by that, though. ESPN has the rights to SEC play. I thought they'd definitely be at Georgia.
Well, the Georgia game's at 7. Maybe it had something to do with the scheduling.
No, it's same time, 7:30.
Oh, wow.
Both of them same time. But fair play to him. I mean, dude, the fact that Kirk Herbstreit, you know, you guys know I love Kirk, former Buckeye and all. But Kirk and his flying schedule, like, he'll do two games in one day. Like, Herbie.
Talk about grind.
He talks about, like, his flight schedules, and it's crazy. Like, he'll take the private jet from one place, and then at 7 o'clock he'll go to this place. It's crazy the amount of traveling that these guys do.
What a life. Do you like to travel like that?
I do.
Do you like to fly?
I love flying.
Yeah?
I got called out a bit because I hate flying when it comes to dealing with people and idiots on an airplane.
Right.
Because there are idiots on an airplane.
See it all.
Everyone listening can, you know, relate to that idiot on an airplane. But, my God, man, if I'm traveling with Kirk in a private jet with my dog, watching the games in the air, probably, you know, sipping a beverage. Now, I don't drink,
some
but I'd be drinking some, you know, ice cold water while watching the games. But maybe a Coca-Cola, maybe a pop of Coca-Cola. Yeah, get a little frisky. Even though, you know, Doc Al, good friend of mine, Men's Only Medical, go see him, North Dixie Highway. You know, Doc Al and I, man, I'm getting in fighter's fit, Dame. I'm down like about 8 pounds in the last 2 weeks. I'm ready to go, dude.
You look good, you feel good. Is that what they say?
Look good and feel good, baby. My guy, Doc Al. But that's a 7:30 slate. Well, I mean, you know, UMass is duking it out with Missouri. And then Colorado and BYU, that'll be a 10:15 game. But the two big ones, Oregon and Penn State, Alabama and Georgia. A big one that we have coming up, folks, is the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl. And you can get your tickets by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That is BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. You can get signed up for your pre-sale sign-up. We are currently 87 days away from being down in beautiful Boca Raton for the Boca Raton Bowl Tuesday, December 23rd. It is going to be at Flagler Credit Union Stadium, as it always is. But you can find out more information by going to BocaRatonBowl.com. You can stay up to date by going to all of their socials on X, IG, Facebook, wherever you get it. Boca Raton Bowl, at Boca Bowl. That is the Boca Raton Bowl. Get your pre-sale sign up by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That is BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. And also, want to remind everybody, I host a show called Boca Bowl Weekly. It is every Wednesday after Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We talk all college football. You know, Dame, usually the teams we see in the Boca Bowl, you know, the Mid-American Conference, Conference USA, the American Conference, Sun Belt, all those great conferences. We talk about what's going on there, but we also talk about everything going on in college football, the big storylines, the AP Top 25, the big games, man. It's all there with the Boca Bowl Weekly, hosted by myself Wednesdays. Now, next week will be, I apologize. It's Wednesday next week. It's usually Tuesday. It's Wednesday next week because we have Inter-Miami Tuesday, and I'm going to do Pink Smoke before the Inter-Miami game.
Little flex.
As we know, Inter-Miami really getting into that back half of the schedule and trying to make these games up. Last game for Inter-Miami is going to be coming up October 18th. We're a little about, you know what, Dane? 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks away.
Crunch time.
From the end of the regular season with our Inter-Miami Herons. So,
And that supporter shield is still alive for Inter-Miami.
It is. It is. And they have two games in hand on everybody in the top five. How about that? Two games in hand on everybody within the top five. Folks, let's take our second time out of the program. You are listening to Saturday Tailgate right here on ESPN 106.3. When we return, we'll make our parlay of the weekend with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Stay tuned for it. We're coming right back on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Final segment. Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez. We are live at the City Place Studios, downtown West Palm Beach. You can listen to us on that brand new ESPN South Florida app. You get Russo and Rizzo there. You get Theoretically Speaking there. You could get me on the Inner Miami call later on. You could get the great Ken LaVica, voice of the Inner Miami Herons, on the app. That is ESPN South Florida app. Download it today. And stay up to date with everything that is going on with ESPN 106.3. Folks, Florida Gator tickets are now on sale as well for the 2025 season. You got all of the big matchups still to come. You have the SEC home opener coming up against Texas. You have all the great Senior Day festivities coming up November 29th against Florida State. So you have the Texas game coming up October 4th. Florida on a bye this week, but you got the Texas game coming up October 4th. You got Senior Day and all those festivities coming up November 29th against in-state rival Florida State. It's going to be a big game, too, now that Florida State has officially lost against Virginia last night. But that is FloridaGators.com. Folks, FloridaGators.com for more ticket information. It is time, though, to do our parlay of the weekend, Damian. Presented by our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Now, we can't take those Florida Gators in our parlay because they are currently on their bye week. But I was planning on taking on some of the bigger games in this, Damian. I'm going to be a homer. I am going to throw Ohio State in this. I've been seeing way too many people picking Washington on the upset. Now, something I wanted to mention to you, Dame, is this the weekend of the upset?
It's sure shaping up to be.
Now, Florida State lost to Virginia on the road. Is that the start of teams like my Buckeyes getting upset on the road in some of their first true road games coming up this season? I don't think Ohio State's going to get caught with their pants down today, folks. I like the -8.5. I think the Buckeyes win by 2 touchdowns. I think it could be I'm going to stick with my gut. I don't think this is close early. If it's close early, it's going to be a game, and the 8.5 isn't going to cover. You gotta
start off fast.
You gotta stomp the belief out early with these teams you're better than. I know Washington's a pretty decent team. This is with no disrespect to Washington. Ohio State's a better team, and I think Ryan Day knows that. You got to get off to a fast start. Ohio State has won 19 straight games against unranked opponents. Dame, let me say that again. The Buckeyes have won 19 straight games against unranked opponents. I think that continues today. I think the Buckeyes win big. We're taking that -8.5. Are you leaning anywhere on LSU and Ole Miss, Damian?
That's a tough one. I think that's one of the games where it can be considered a toss-up. But if I had to pick one, I'm leaning Ole Miss. I don't know about you.
-2.5. They're -135 to win the game.
They're at home.
I'm going to go, I think, the best bet on here.
What about the over? Why don't we just listen to what Lane Kiffin told us to do?
I think the best bet on here is LSU plus 110 to win the game. But yeah, we'll take the over. We'll take the over at 57.5. We'll listen to Coach Kiffin.
It's a fun bet.
As you know, we are Lane Kiffin guys here on ESPN 106.3. Lane, former FAU Owl coach. We love Lane Kiffin on ESPN 106.3. Now, are you leaning anywhere on the Oregon game? I lean Penn State winning at home against Oregon.
I do as
Oregon.
Well.
It's -2.5 the last time I checked. These odds update, wow, it got moved
to
3.5. I got Penn State at 2.5 yesterday, and I got the Buckeyes at 7.5 yesterday.
There you go.
But who's counting? We're going to go with Penn State, though, at 3.5. I think a touchdown. I think they win by a touchdown. Now, maybe Dante Moore is the real deal. Maybe the Ducks go and shock the world, landing good in a big game. The last time we saw Dan Lanning in a ranked matchup, Damian, what happened? I can't remember. You want to jog my memory?
Didn't go well for him, did it?
It was like 31-7, maybe 31-14 at half. I can't remember, but the Buckeyes bamboozled them. Regardless, we are going to go with Penn State. Now, the 7:30 games, a lot of fun. You've got Georgia hosting Alabama. I lean Alabama here, Dame. You want to know what
I love Alabama.
I like them to win at plus 115. I do. I don't know. For some reason, I like Bama in this game a lot. Maybe it's fool's gold. Maybe Kalen DeBoer is a dead man walking within the program. But I like Ty Simpson to go on the road and win in Georgia. Georgia's defense, it gave up about 40-some points, or I think 38 was the final tally. It would have been 40 if Tennessee hit the – I can't remember off the top of my head.
Ty Simpson has had a great start to the season. Even in that loss versus FSU, he still put up a good game in that game. I really like Alabama versus Georgia tonight.
So, Dame, Ohio State to cover 8.5, the over in the LSU Ole Miss game. Penn State to cover 3.5, and Bama to win. That's plus 1,300 odds.
Love it.
Plus 1,300 odds. That's $20 to win 293. All that, folks, with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. And you guys need to download the app today, because if you bet $5, if you download the app, deposit $5, bet $5 and win on a college football game, you'll get $150 in bonus bets instantly. I mean, you know, $5 to possibly win $150 in bonus bets. Download the app, use those bonus bets on whatever you they win that first game, find that lock, and then you could use those bonus bets on the NFL, on maybe some MLB postseason baseball, on some college football. Bet more on college football. That's all with Hard Rock Bet. Right now, I'm in sports heaven. Actually, no, Damian. I'm in a sports hell right now. Who am I kidding? I'm in a sports hell with the United States losing the Ryder Cup right now. Manchester United on their way to losing another head coach, having to start over again. The Guardians losing two games in a row, trying to play themselves out of the playoffs. It has been a
full on tilt.
What did legend from Alabama say on the Paul Feinbaum show? I'm in a sports nightmare. Yeah, that's me. But download the Hard Rock Bet app today, folks, and bet on my misery. Well, you hear that music? That means it's time for us to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Dame, I will be on the call for Inter Miami and Toronto FC. We will have the pregame at 4 o'clock on ESPN 106.3. Damian will have the pregame at 3:30 on the correct Spanish side on 760 AM Deportes Radio. We want the Spanish speakers on Deportes, English speakers on 106.3. Damian and I will catch up with you guys in a few hours here with some Inter Miami football on ESPN 106.3 and 760 AM.